Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave me of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Introit. Give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you, and let your prophets be proven faithful. Hear the prayer of your servant, according to the blessing of Aaron upon your people. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord your God, I will seek your good. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you, and let your prophets be proven faithful. Hear the prayer of your servants, according to the blessing of Aaron upon your people. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only
with the Holy Spirit, our Most High, in the glory of God the Father.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, for as much as without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Trinity is from the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord our God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. The epistle reading is from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed, page 141. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text is from Matthew 22, verse 43 and 44. How does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. As we have been studying the solid declaration of the formula of Concord, Article 5 of Law and Gospel says this: the distinction between law and gospel is an especially brilliant light which serves the purpose that the word of God may be rightly divided and the writing of the holy prophets and apostles may be explained and understood correctly. We must therefore observe this distinction with particular diligence, lest we confuse the two doctrines and change the gospel into law. Note that, changing the gospel into law. This would darken the merit of Christ and rob disturbed consciences of the comfort which would they otherwise would have received in the holy gospel when it is preached purely and without admixture. For by it, by the gospel, Christians can support themselves in the greatest temptations and against the terrors of the law. End quote. The dialogue that occurs in today's holy gospel between the Pharisees and Jesus is none other than an example of Jesus' attempt to make a distinction between the law and the gospel. First of all, the Pharisees, unlike the Sadducees, were serious about following the word of God. Nevertheless, they exclusively taught the law of God to be the good news in the Holy Scriptures. The Pharisees considered the law of God to be the good news. They considered man to be sinful, but thought that God's grace was shown to man by commanding him with rules and statutes and laws. And so, man was supposed to keep these laws, and in this way he would be saved. Thus, for the Pharisee, religion was in terms of human behavior. The keeping of God's commands. That was their good news. Their theological system could be summed up quite easily in calling it works righteousness. God gives the law, man becomes righteous by keeping it. In the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector who go to the temple, the Pharisee is simply expressing, well, his trust in the keeping of the law which God has given him when he says, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. And then he lists all the stuff that he has done. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. The law of God, though, is not a means of salvation. God did give the law, but not so that by keeping it we would be saved. Not at all. However, even today, we live in a world in which all limits to human behavior are considered to be bad. Postmodernism teaches that everything is relative. There's no universal truth. What is true for you may not be true for me. So what we find is that mankind is driven about by the winds of change. Whatever is blowing along, that's what we hold to, and then something else. Now, for those who have lived without the law, without the laws of human behavior, whether natural law or divine law, I can see how the law can be a kind of welcome and comforting thing. Think about it. As parents, we set the bedtime for our children. We allow them to only go so far in our neighborhood. We require the eating of certain foods, and we restrict the wearing of certain clothes. We have rules concerning appropriate language and behavior. Why do we do this? We do this because we love our children. It is, in fact, a comfort for our children. They function better when they get enough sleep and they eat healthy meals. The child is more pleasant to others when they have learned proper social behavior. Our children know that we love them by the boundaries that we set. Similarly, I can see how some might want to major in God's law. That is, God's laws are comforting and good for us. Those who do not commit adultery will tend to stay married. Those who don't steal or kill will stay out of jail. Those who attend church will hear the word of God. They'll enjoy the company of other moral people. They will be encouraged themselves to lead a godly life. You see, it only makes sense that the triune God who created this world, as well as mankind, would know what is best for us. And thus he gives us the law. Nevertheless, the law of God is not good news. It's not the good news of the scriptures. No, the good news of salvation is that through faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, we are saved. When the Pharisees ask about the great command in the law, Jesus doesn't simply give them directions about human behavior, outward human behavior. Well, that would be summarized in the second table of the law, which is found in Commandments 4 through 10. Jesus does mention that we are to, love our neighbor as ourselves. But Christ is not merely teaching an external behavior. He's also teaching an internal faith, a belief. Jesus says, in addition to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, he also speaks of the first table of the law. He says, love. He's talking about the heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. He's talking about the fear and love of God inside. Take note of Jesus' answer. Human behavior is secondary. The first and the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Human behavior is secondary to the love of the Lord God. The first table teaches us about faith. Article 4 of the Apology says this, our opponents concentrate on the commandments of the second table, which contains civil righteousness that reason understands. Content with this, they think that they satisfy the law of God. Meanwhile, they do not see the first table, which commands us to love God. To be sure, God is wrathful at our sin, to fear Him truly, to be sure He hears us. But without the Holy Spirit, the human heart either despises the judgment of God in its smugness, or in the midst of punishment, it flees and hates His judgment. So here's what we find. With the Pharisees, the law of God cannot be kept without first there being faith in Christ, the Son of God who was sent by the Heavenly Father. Jesus clearly tells them, before you get to the love your neighbor kind of things, there needs to be a new heart that loves God. So as it is, what happens? The law of God renders a judgment against each and every man that we have fallen short of the commandments of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the scriptures say. And God threatens to punish all who have broken His law. The human heart cannot love God without the work of the Messiah, the Christ. So the problem of the Pharisees is not that they only understand, 50% of the word, that is, that they accept the law but not the gospel. The Pharisees' problem is they have misunderstood 100% of the word of God. They don't understand the law of God correctly. They think that they have satisfied the law of God when they have not. And so their proud heart trusts in their own judgment and despises the judgment of God. Here is the judgment of God from the Scriptures. The Heavenly Father desires that that the law would reveal our sinfulness, and He desires that we would confess those failures and trust in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Beloved Son. In the Scriptures, it always describes Jesus as the Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. No, the Pharisees reject God's judgment to hold on to theirs. You see, we need a new heart. A new heart which trusts in Jesus' forgiveness. And then out of that, there are good works of thankfulness. The Pharisees reject God's judgment in order to use their keeping of the law, their judgment against God. Their hearts don't love God. It loves their judgment. Their pride in keeping the law. So, in today's gospel, having told the Pharisees that God desires us to love His judgment, as revealed in His Word, Jesus then directs these hard-hearted men to the actual good news, which is the gospel. The gospel, the good news found in the Word of God. They know the answer to Jesus' question about the Christ, but we see that their heart does not trust in it. They know that the Heavenly Father promised to send a Christ, that He would be the Son of God. But that teaching doesn't fit into their works-righteous theology. If they can keep the law, what do they need about a Christ? So finally, then, Jesus teaches about David. David, King David, he's a mere man. But he has called the promised Christ his Lord. Called him Lord. King David confessed that the Christ, who will be one of his human descendants, will also be the divine Lord. The Christ is both true God and true man. If sinful man is able to keep the law of God, then why does the Christ need to be the Son of God? That's the rub, isn't it? So here is Jesus. He's standing before them. He claims to be true man and true God right here in the flesh. Jesus is the love of God, which the Father desires for us to cling to with our whole heart. Though the judgment of the law condemns our conscience, the perfect love of God in Jesus Christ drives out all fear. The gospel message, the good news, is the promise that the Christ's perfect life, that His innocent suffering and death, have earned our salvation. And they are to be received by faith. Faith for the forgiveness of sins. Now, in this world, yes, I know, an outwardly moral life, well, is certainly better than someone who leads an immoral life. Your behavior may in fact rise above other sinners. However, those human works will not sustain you when you stand before your God, in the face of God's law, yes, when you face trials, you cannot stand up based on that kind of morality. An outward morality will not comfort against the terrors of the law which threaten us. The only good news is the forgiveness of sins earned by beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ. When Jesus speaks about King David, He speaks about him as having faith, the faith of King David. He was looking forward to his Lord, the Savior. And these Pharisees are not looking forward to the Savior. King David, he did not trust in his works, which the Scriptures describe in many places. David did not consider that he could defeat his enemies by his own works. David trusted in the promised Messiah, as did all of the godly Old Testament leaders, believers. They trusted in the coming Savior, the Son of David. They held to the gospel, and it sustained them in the midst of trials and temptation. So Jesus says to the Pharisees, He says to them, "What do you think about the Christ?" The reality is that they didn't think about the Christ much at all. No. Thus, they didn't love the things which God loved. or they would have loved his beloved son. In contrast, we see a King David who trusts in the Christ, who professed faith in the Savior, while these Pharisees did not. Though David defeated Goliath, he still looked to the Savior for divine help in the midst of trials and temptations. The only victory which mattered was the victory of the Christ, who was then welcomed to sit at the feet at the Father's right hand. And the scriptures say, "Till I have made your enemies your footstool." This is our Jesus, the Son of David, who is seated at the right hand of God until the last time. This morning, we are going to rightly distinguish law and gospel as we have a baptism of Graceland. We will also be welcoming into membership by confirmation. TJ and Susan have already been baptized, but they will confess, not like Pharisees, "We trust in our works," but confess, "We trust in the Savior, the one who has taken away our sins. It is in the gospel that we hold." And so this morning, we will be giving out the gifts in the sacrament of baptism. In their confirmation, they will be confessing all the gifts that they received in their baptism. And then they will be welcomed at our Lord's table that they might receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offertory is page 143. Congregation will be seated and the baptismal party come forward. We'll continue with page 205. We'll have the confirmation and the bringing into membership of TJ and Susan, and then followed with the baptism for Graceland. Page 205. Susan, if you and TJ will stand right here. And if you'll stand right behind them or off to the side. Perfect. That works. That works. Can I have the large towel, Tony? Get that right there. What now? Yes, they can come forward too. Absolutely. Would you like to come forward? Perfect. Yeah, that works. Let me move over just a little bit. We'll move you all this way and have you stand beside them. Wonderful. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the end of the age." You have been baptized. You have been taught the faith according to our Lord's bidding. In the fulfillment of his bidding, we now celebrate with thankful hearts, rejoicing to confess the faith into which you were baptized and which you yourselves will now confess before the church. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father in heaven. But he that denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, joyfully give answer to what, in the name of the Lord, as a minister of the church, I shall now ask you. Do you, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts which God gave you in your baptism? If so, answer, I do. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? I do. And we confess together with TJ and Susan the Apostles' Creed, as well as on behalf of Graceland. I ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do so intend with the help of God. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from them as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true? If so, answer, I do. Do you desire to be a member of the Evangelical Church, Lutheran Church, and of this congregation? If so, answer, I do. And do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word, to be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are his means of grace, and in faith, word, and action to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, answer, I do so intend by the grace of God. TJ? And Susan. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and of strength, and of sanctification and the fear of God. Upon this, your profession and your promise, I invite and welcome you as members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation to share with us in all the gifts which our Lord has for his church and to live them out continually in his worship and service. Amen. Having brought them into membership, one of the first blessings they get to receive is we're going to receive their daughter. So if you'll turn to page 199, the service of Holy Baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We learn from the Word of God that we're all conceived and born sinful. We are in need of forgiveness. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that the oil? The whole thing. Yeah. And you bring me one of those. Graceland, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon the forehead and upon the heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. And sponsors. It is your task as sponsors to confess with the whole church the faith into which Graceland is to be baptized. After this child has been baptized, you are all times to remember her in your prayers, put her in mind of her baptism, and as much as in you lies, give your counsel and aid, especially if she should lose her parents, that she be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God, be taught the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and that as she grows in years, you place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, bringing her to the services of God's house, provide for her further instruction in the Christian faith, that she come to the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, and thus abiding in her baptismal grace and in communion with the church, she may grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. If this then you intend gladly and willingly to do, so answer yes.
Yes.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. In order to impart the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the gathering of this child into the family, let us with all the family pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Let me stand right there. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen.
Having confessed the faith already into which she was baptized, I ask, who brings this child to be baptized? And how is she to be named?
Mommy.
All right. Come over. All right. Gracelyn, over this way. She can either go forward or you can lean her backwards. And we'll put some water. Maybe forward would be better. Very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very good. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting, and peace be with you. Amen. Receive this white garment to show that Christ has borne your sin and taken away your sins and given you his perfect righteousness. Did it go out? It might have gone out. Thank you. Thank you. Receive this burning light. Live always by the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we give you thanks and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and that you have granted Gracelyn the new birth and holy baptism, made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, an heir of your heavenly kingdom. And we humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life, to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Through baptism, God has added Gracelyn Renee Plot to his own people to declare the wonderful deeds of our Savior, who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light.
We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same heavenly Father, to work with us in his kingdom. And you, Gracelyn, the Lord bless you in all your ways from this time forth and even forevermore. You can return to your seats. We stand. The service continues with the prayer of the church. You can just leave it. Oh, yes. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son, Jesus Christ, completely fulfilled the law of love by his obedience to the Heavenly Father and by his suffering and death for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. We ask that your church might not only speak clearly about the unkeepable demands of the law, but also tell the good news about the perfect love of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Grant your Holy Spirit to all pastors, to our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they may be wise stewards of the incomparable treasures of word and sacrament, properly dividing law and gospel. By your Spirit, increase in us a genuine love of your word and a true understanding of the person and work of Christ our Savior. We ask your blessing upon St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Taylorville, North Carolina, and their pastor, David Carver. Be with our Early Childhood Learning Center, our director, Keeley, that we would have opportunities to teach the children about the Son of David, Jesus Christ, our God. Let us pray to the Lord. O ruler of all, give governments around the world, and especially the government of the United States, guidance, integrity, a willingness to act out of love and care for the people they serve. Protect our President Donald, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, and all our leaders from mere self-interest, that they may faithfully serve the common good. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Timothy, Danny, Jason, and Blake. Our police officers, Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Violet Verdell, especially as Violet is going to be traveling soon. Be with Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Gibb, Linda, Rick, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, and Gary. Provide for our students, Kara, Andrew, Eric, Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is good and right so to do. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
O Lord Jesus Christ, the 72 apostles, peace I leave with you, not be thankful. Regard not my sins, but the faith of your church. Grant unto them peace and unity, which is according unto your will. The bread of heaven, all for the name of the Lord, the body of our Lord, which active and form would preserve my body and soul into everlasting life. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord as worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The blood of our Lord Jesus, which was shed for me, to preserve my body and soul into life everlasting. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh.
page 152.
Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Again, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for the healing for Karen Melvin, and we ask that you would continue to provide for her. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.